Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
As we figured would happen on Friday, Russell Wilson signs with the Steelers after he met with them for reportedly about 6 hours on Friday, that after visiting the Giants. So, Keyshawn, scale of 1 to 10, how much do you believe Russ and the Steelers will work?
10.
Wow.
Yeah, a 10. Okay. You gave me a 1 to 10. I put it at a 15. I may even put it at 20.
Good.
This is a perfect situation for Russ. I said it a week or so ago when we first learned that he would be on the move. The first thing I said was Pittsburgh is a perfect situation because you have a coach in Mike Tomlin a lot like Pete Carroll, right? He's got to manage the entire situation on the sidelines. He can speak to the quarterbacks, the defensive players, just like Pete did. This is not Sean Payton. This is not a coach that has such high demand of the quarterback, had played quarterback himself before, and been in these situations, had Drew Brees, just a different mindset as a head coach.
Agreed.
Where Mike Tomlin is going to talk to him differently, going to respect him coming into the building differently than Sean Payton. Sean Payton had respect for him, but Sean Payton also had one eye open, one eye closed, wasn't going to go all in this situation. Mike Tomlin signed off on him. So the locker room, there won't be any issues because people respect Mike Tomlin. They'll simply say, coach signed off on him. We're okay with it. Whatever his personality is, we don't worry about it. He's our quarterback. Now, he won't get the starting job just by walking in the building. Mm. It'll be an open competition, wink, wink, at the end of the day. Russell Wilson is better than Kenny Pickett. We all know that. They'll let him compete. But in the end, he's the starting quarterback. They got him on the cheap. Think about it. They've gone out and got Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith has success with Ryan Tannehill back in 2019. Okay, Ryan Tannehill comes over from Miami. He was somewhat of a throwaway, similar to Russell Wilson. He goes. Arthur Smith puts in a situation with the two tight ends, a running game, play action pass, a nice defense, and they go on and have success. Now, Arthur Smith is in a situation where he wants to erase the memories that people have of him as a head coach in Atlanta this past couple years, show that he could be an offensive coordinator, show that he could help the Pittsburgh Steelers win a playoff game, something that they had. I didn't even realize this. Man won a playoff game since 2016. They hadn't won a playoff game since 2016. And they've lost three straight since they've in the postseason. When they've gotten there, they've been gone, much like the Dallas Cowboys. They get kicked around and they get sent home a little early.
Yep.
Mike Tomlin now has his quarterback to settle things down. It'll be interesting to see how far he could take them because he's got some playmakers. I think within this division, Skip, when you talk about Cincinnati and Joe Burrow, you talk about Deshaun Watson, who just got Jerry Jeudy to help him out offensively, trade from Denver, and then obviously Lamar Jackson. This is now that division where you look at the quarterbacks, you go, oh, gosh, you got to be afraid. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Okay. Since I proposed scale of 1 to 10, I will cap mine at 10, but I'm going 10 also. And if you want to go 15 or 20, God bless you. This is an all-time steal of a deal. They're paying, are the Denver Broncos, $38 million of this.
Yeah.
It only cost Pittsburgh $1.2 million, the veteran minimum, to get a quarterback who's been to 9 Pro Bowls and 2 Super Bowls and very, very nearly won both of them. as we know
just
what happened.
Just run the ball.
Yeah, okay, well, you can make the case. But Russ made a nice throw. It was the all-time greatest break on the ball I've ever seen by Malcolm Butler. But it came that close to winning that Super Bowl. You got that. And I'm going to put in front of his age 35, I'm going to put an only 35, because in this age we live in, after what we saw Tom Brady do at 45, after what we now see LeBron doing at 39, after, heck, for what we see Aaron Rodgers do at 39, I'm going to put an only in front of 35. He is only 35 years of age. Once upon a time, I would have said, you're on the downside. He could still be in his prime at age 35. And he got caught in, frankly, the worst possible situation, because you know Sean, I know Sean, he, as you point out, he coaches the quarterback hard, and he could coach Drew Brees hard because Drew Brees was really good and tough-minded and ate it up, the hard coaching, and lived up to it and thrived under it. All of a sudden...
But he also...
yeah.
He also brought Drew Brees to
New
Orleans.
And it was his guy.
It was his guy. It's
okay,
different.
All right.
Different.
And it's huge. This was not Sean's guy. And there are parts of Russ's personality that can be off-putting, that can rub you the wrong way. You can think, well, he's a phony or he's insincere or whatever you want to think of him, because he is cliche-ridden and he's a little corny and it's let's ride Bronco country. And somehow it didn't click because he was making so much money and Sean wanted more that Russ wasn't able to give him. And it degenerated into the ugliest sideline incident I think I've ever seen between a coach and a quarterback. And it gives me creeps to even look at it now. It gives me bad chills because it was so ugly. And again, I like Sean. You like Sean.
Oh, yeah.
But that degenerated into that moment where all of his bitterness toward everything Russ just spewed out at that moment. And for all the world to see, it was on full display. And Russ went through a lot last year, and I think he got humiliated by the benching because he's a star, and he's married to a star, and he's got star power. And because of that, I think he's going to come in to Pittsburgh with a little chip on his shoulder, like, okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to start fresh here. I'm going to get my body even righter than I got it to go to Denver, and here we go. And now we get to Mike Tomlin, and you pointed this out. Mike Tomlin is not an offensive football coach, so he's not going to coach Russ on X's and O's like Arthur Smith will, obviously. But Mike will coach Russ's psyche. He'll put his psyche.
Yes.
He will rebuild his confidence. He'll put him in the right position to succeed. And you say, well, they're a running football team. Well, they were with Kenny Pickett because they really didn't have a lot of choice. And what Pittsburgh tried to do with Kenny Pickett was what Green Bay did successfully with Jordan Love, because they took a later round, you know, down the bottom of the first round pick. Mm-hmm. And Jordan Love looked like he's turning into a star to me. We'll know more next year.
Well, but Jordan Love had an opportunity to sit.
He did.
And wait. Kenny Pickett never got thrown
into the fire.
Kenny Pickett never, in my evaluation of him at Pitt, he had played a lot of football.
He had.
Okay, he didn't get an opportunity to sit behind a veteran quarterback like an Aaron Rodgers for 4 years before he got his opportunity. They somewhat were forced into taking him because they needed a quarterback, because Ben was at the end, he was done. They needed a quarterback, and the guy that was rated high was Kenny Pickett, who shared the same driveway as the Pittsburgh Steelers players because they share the same facility.
They do.
So the information that they would get about him, it's easy. I see you every day. So it was almost like we had to take you. We see you every day. We fell in love with you for the last 4 years, and we thought it would work. You're in Pittsburgh. You played in this stadium. You understand the weather. You somewhat understand the Pittsburgh Steelers culture. But in the end, he's just not good enough.
Just not good enough.
To give them exactly what they needed at the starting back quarterback position. Think about it. Over the last two seasons, they've started three different quarterbacks. They literally have started three different, whether it was Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett. It's just been like a assembly line just going around and around for Mike Tomlin. Now, Mike Tomlin wants to get back to the winning ways, and I think they can do that because they got two hell of a running backs. They got some receivers.
They got some.
Okay, they got guys on the defensive side of the ball, and it's not a wide-open style offense that they're going to run under Arthur Smith. It's just not. And I think Russ will be able to handle that to perfection a lot what he did early in his career in Seattle.
Well, I agree with you. But don't underestimate Mike Tomlin. If Russ has a hot hand, Mike will okay or green light throwing the football. Because, Roethlisberger, they used to throw up more than anybody did, right?
Of course.
They throw 50 passes a game.
No problem at all throwing 50 balls a game when it calls for that. But it's not something that they are going to go into a game plan saying, and you got to also know who Mike Tomlin is, where he started his professional coaching career under Coach Tony Dungy. Mm-hmm. And what does Dungy want to do? He want to do Dungy ball. You know, he's run, kick a field goal. Run, kick a field goal. If we win 9-3, so be it. And that's Mike Tomlin.
You were a receiver on that team.
Yeah. It's
and
just...
that doesn't fly for you, right?
It doesn't matter. I was the one getting the touches, so
hey,
it's okay.
You got a ring because of
it. Yeah. Well, we threw the ball a little bit more. We threw the ball a little bit more in crucial situations. It just was a different mindset. But Mike Tomlin has the mindset of running the football, okay, allowing my quarterback to do certain things and not lose the football game, but help us win it by protecting the football and not giving it away to the other team. If you look at Russ's numbers from last year, his numbers wasn't god-awful. Mm-mm. They were fine. If in fact, Pittsburgh gets what Russ did for Denver last year in their quarterback play, Skip, they're going to make some noise in the AFC.
They will make noise.
If he just do exactly what he did in Denver with that football team in Pittsburgh, we'll be talking about the Steelers late in January.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as you pointed out, there is this guy, Lamar Jackson, there's this guy, Joe Burrow, and there's this guy, Deshaun Watson. It's... You can argue it's got to be the best quarterback division in football, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. It was the West, but no, he's out of the West now. The Raiders doesn't have a quarterback. Yeah, it is because the AFC East is nothing in New England. Let's see what New England gets, because Tua, Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen, three are pretty good quarterbacks.
Well,
and let's see what New England gets.
Well, they're going to get Drake May or whoever they pick with the third pick, whoever
maybe
falls
to them. Maybe they don't pick. Maybe they move down. Maybe they trade for Justin Fields and he goes to New England.
Maybe.
And they take. Yeah, who knows what they might do.
Yeah. The other thing that strikes me right between the eyes in a good way is the AFC is so loaded with star quarterbacks, while the NFC is still pretty wide open, which gives me and my team some sliver of hope. Because especially in the NFC, as much as I'm down on Dak Prescott, when I look at the rankings of NFC quarterbacks, Dak's right up there near the top because it's just wide open. It's why Baker Mayfield, we're going to talk about
not
him in
sure
a moment.
Not sure there's any quarterback in the NFC that I would rather have than Dak Prescott.
Okay, but it's a fair point. Because are you sold on Brock Purdy yet? Because
I'm sold on him, but I'd rather have Dak Prescott than Brock Purdy, even though I like Brock Purdy.
Okay, and you look around and it's Jared Goff and it's still Matt Stafford, I still honor Matt Stafford.
Yeah, but he's at any moment, you know, he may just fold at any moment because he's always injured.
All right,
you know.
And you got Jalen Hurts, and he had his moments, and then they fell apart. And you discount him a little bit because they lost 6 of their last 7. And yet I look at the other side of the ledger, and the AFC, you just added Russell Wilson to that division.
Yes.
And, my God.
Yeah, there's 4, 7, 8, 9, 10. There's 10 quarterbacks in the AFC. There's 10 of them in the AFC that can play, that you look at and you go, oh, yeah,
and
they can play.
We're about to talk about Baker Mayfield, and all of a sudden I look at Tampa, and I think they're a really good football team, and they kept their big pieces intact. So all of a sudden you say, they're definitely the favorite to win that division, but they're a player. You know, they're going to be a factor.
It depends on what Atlanta does at the quarterback spot. Are they going after Kirk Cousins, or are they going to spend the money too, because they got a nice young team with a new head coach in Raheem. So I'm not ready to just give Tampa Bay the division, depending on what happens at the quarterback spot in Atlanta.
Okay. I'm ready to give it to Tampa. And that's what we're going to talk about in just a moment. Will the Bucs ever get banged for their bucks with Baker? That's next.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Baker Mayfield stays with the Bucs on a 3-year deal worth up to $115 million. That's $50 million guaranteed, $30 million salary next season. So, Keyshawn, what letter grade would you give the deal for Baker? And also, what letter grade would you give the deal for the Bucs?
A's. A's across
both,
the board.
A and
yeah,
A?
Yeah, okay. You give them an A because they did what they should do, which is retain their quarterback, the quarterback that led them to a playoff victory. Not only did he lead them to a playoff victory over the Philadelphia Eagles, going into the season, Baker Mayfield came over from the Rams, signed a $4 million deal. He was betting on himself to be successful. Had a little bit of a rough patch at some point in the season, but fought through it, okay? And wind up connecting with Mike Evans, another guy that they retained. Once they retained Mike Evans and gave him his contract extension, you knew that they were going to make a run for Baker, and there was going to be some teams that liked the way Baker played, and they were going to try to take him from Tampa. Tampa stepped up. They gave him $50 million in guaranteed money, a 3-year, $100 million deal with some incentives. It can push it up to about $115 million. He'll never see the 3 years on this deal, because if Baker Mayfield does well, they're going to tear it up. He's only 28 years old. He'll be 29. When he gets to the back end of the deal, he'll be 31. 2 years from now, if he does anything like he just finished his season doing over the next 2 seasons, they're going to have to see him again to bring him to market value. That's why I say he won't see the end of this current deal here, because they'll rip it up and they'll extend him again. So the ball is back in his court. I'm excited for him. He had the best season of his career, his young career, last season, and he deserved every single penny.
Mm.
And then some.
And then some. And that's the point. That's why I'm going to give Baker a B for the deal, because I believe he could have hit the lottery if he had hit the open market.
And if he hit the open market, though, Skip, as I told you before, you're going away from people that know you.
Okay, I'm just saying, just on deal, if I'm grading the deal, I promise you he gave them a hometown discount, because they gave him a chance when maybe nobody else would have given him a
Absolutely.
Chance last year, and he honored that. He took that to his bank and gave them something of a Tampa Bay discount, which will benefit him, to your point, maybe down the road.
Down the road.
Because it's fair is fair, and yeah. let's make a deal together. But if you ask me in a vacuum to grade Baker's deal, I'm going to give it a B, because I believe he could have gotten more on the open market. But that's cool for your point, because the intangibles are big value here.
Yes.
And for Tampa Bay, I'm giving them an A-plus here, because they got a Baker Mayfield who lit it up for them. And you can talk about his rough patch, and I got it. But when I look at the totality of his achievement last year coming from nowhere, which was Carolina, his numbers across the board were better than Tom Brady's numbers across the board the year before, which was Brady's swan song year. They just were. They were a little better here, 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 and here. And he winds up with, if we throw in the playoff numbers, 34 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. Keyshawn, that's really good. And if I break it down and I look at what he did game by game and pick, maybe I'm cherry picking, but I'm showing you some true highlight games. He set the tone. Their opener was at Minnesota against Kirk Cousins. And again, it's just, you set the tone. You just go in there and you could say they stole it, but they won 20-17. He threw two touchdown passes.
A win is a win.
It's just a win. And so you're off to the races. Then the fourth game, they go to New Orleans, which, as we all know, it's a hard place to play. And that is the division rival for them, or has been for the last few years, a team that Tom Brady just couldn't deal with, had his number the whole time he was in Tampa, even during the Super Bowl year until the playoffs. But he goes in there and beats them 26-9 with three touchdowns and only one interception. Baker Mayfield did that, and that was impressive to me. Then he goes to Atlanta. And looking back, this was another tone setter in the division because he hits Kate Otten with 36 seconds left for a touchdown. And they pull it out 29-25. And he has two touchdowns to no interceptions. And I'm like, that's good because Atlanta is a young, talented team on the rise, as we know. Okay. Then he goes into Green Bay, and this kind of got just swept under the carpet. But he goes into Green Bay, and Green Bay was starting to get good. They were starting to take off. He wins that game 34-20 with the first perfect passer rating in the history of Lambeau Field. Well, you got to give him that. He did that. Mm-hmm. And in that game, he threw four touchdowns to no interceptions against a team that blew my team off the field in a playoff game. And
that wasn't hard.
Okay, well, okay, you can say. But what Baker did up there at their place, mm-hmm. that was hard. And he did that. Then they went home and they had Jacksonville. And Jacksonville had a run early in the year. Maybe they were starting to teeter a little bit. But Baker had a QBR of 91 in this game, and they won 30-12. Then Philly comes for the playoff game. And Philly has definitely fallen on his face mask. But it's 32-9 Tampa. And Baker throws for 337 yards. That's pretty good in a playoff game, albeit at home, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but it was better than Brady's last playoff game at home against my Dallas Cowboys. And then finally, he goes up to Detroit. Detroit's on fire, ready to go to the NFC Championship game at San Francisco. But he threw for 349 in that game. He threw three touchdown passes. He threw two interceptions. One of them was desperate late when they were just trying to everything they could to get back in the game. But they kept it close. They played. It was reasonable. It was way better than my team played at home against Green Bay. They look like a real live football team. So I just gave you a body of work. That's why they said, well, okay, we'll go to $50 million guaranteed, but we can't go anymore. And you can argue.
They can't go anymore. They got the money to go anymore.
Okay, but that's, they probably could have, but they didn't want to risk. That's what they said. This is it.
Yeah.
This is the best we got. And Baker said, you know what? I'm good. I'm staying.
Yes.
And I love it. He didn't max out his money, but he maxed out the intangibles of it, the connection, the feel goodness of it, because that fandom loves Baker Mayfield. I think that team fell slowly in love with Baker Mayfield. He loves the coaching staff. That they let him pick the new, remember, he lost Canales, obviously. Uh-huh. He was very good for him.
Yeah.
But that Liam Cohen, remember, Liam Cohen coached him briefly at the Rams and that little pit stop that he had with the Rams when he beat the Raiders on that Thursday night. So he got a taste of Liam Cohen, and they let Baker pick his next quarterback coach. Liam had gone back to Kentucky, and he said, I want that guy. So he got his guy. So it's a feel-good situation. And to me, they're clearly
Look,
the best.
Look, do I think Baker Mayfield is going to be in Tampa for the next 8 years? There's a strong possibility
of that.
He's
got potential.
He's
got
to duplicate the same success.
He does.
Can't get complacent. Can't all of a sudden be something different than what he's always been. Okay? Because he'll have the opportunity, whatever little money you think he left on the table, he'll have the opportunity 2 years from
now. I agree.
To make that up if he plays well.
Mm-hmm.
Because this type of deal is set up to where if he doesn't play well, they can easily say bye-bye to him two seasons from now, it wouldn't even bat an eye.
Okay.
So they bring in Mike Evans. You know they're going to bring in some players from free agency.
And they tagged Antoine Winfield.
They tagged Antoine Winfield.
One of the best at his position.
They're going to move some things around on the defensive side of the ball.
They will.
But they're still going to have...
They cut Shaq Barrett, so they're going to move on. Yeah.
Shaq Barrett. They may move on from Davis. But Devontae David.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, this team has an opportunity to repeat itself like it did a year ago. 9-8, they may get another win or two, but they have an opportunity. And now when you have a quarterback, you have an opportunity. They have their quarterback. While everybody else is still trying to figure out who their quarterback's going to be. Atlanta's still trying to figure out who their quarterback's going to be. We don't know what's going on in New Orleans with Carr. We hope that Bryce Young turns into something in Carolina. So the division is there for the taking again.
Yeah.
They just got to seize the moment.
Yeah. So I repeat what I said about AFC quarterbacks versus NFC quarterbacks. When you do have Baker Mayfield, at least you have a chance in the NFC to make some postseason noise.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, you look back and say, I'm down on Dak, but you can argue that he's the best quarterback left in the NFC. There's Matt Stafford. And there's Jordan Love, who's on the rise. And he could be up in there. But Baker's up there in at least the top five quarterbacks in the NFC. I'm pretty sure I've got him in my top five.
Yeah, he's probably.
Okay, and if you want to say by default,
let me go now. Yeah. Okay, so if I got Dak, I got Jalen Hurts, I got Matthew Stafford, I got Jared Goff, Geno Smith, Brock Purdy.
Jordan Love. Yep.
Kirk Cousins has got to find a home.
Yeah,
I'm not going to put him down on the list. Yeah, he's probably, Baker, Geno about even, so he's probably right there.
He's better than Geno to me.
They're about even. You want to give him a little bit of a notch above? Okay, give him a notch above. Drop Geno down. So he's right at that sweet six spot.
Okay.
Because he's not better than Jared Goff. He's not better than Matthew Stafford or Dak Prescott. Okay, or Brock Purdy for that matter. So he's probably in that sixth spot.
Yeah.
Jordan Love is coming, you know.
Listen.
And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. If you in the top six quarterbacks in the conference, that means you got a shot.
Yeah.
It means you have a shot.
Okay, so if you look at the totality of Baker's career, obviously he went first overall. I was a big fan of his, not because he played at Oklahoma. I just liked the way he plays. I like his fire and desire sort of.
But you didn't like him at Texas Tech.
Did I like him at Texas Tech? I didn't really even know of him at Texas Tech.
Exactly.
He
so you like him because he played in Oklahoma.
No,
That's when you start watching him.
I know, but there have been I didn't like Sam Bradford. I didn't like Jason White. Jason White won the Heisman Trophy, and I didn't like him. I didn't like his chances. Ouch is right. So the point is that he got off to a great start in Cleveland. He won 7 games as a rookie for a team that was 0-16. That worked. And then he struggled with Odell, and I'll go to my grave not understanding why those two didn't connect. Odell didn't want to be in Cleveland. Baker loved Odell, but he's force-feeding him the ball, and it didn't work. Whatever happened, it did not work.
Understood.
And then all of a sudden, Odell goes down, and this is year 3 for Baker in a game in Cincinnati, and they just take off, and they go 12-2 and go win a playoff game at Pittsburgh.
Well, Baker had him on the ropes in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And Kansas City could have lost that game to Cleveland, but they wind up pulling it out.
On Henny given Sunday. Remember that?
Yeah. But when you look at Baker's tenure in Cleveland, some of the things that he did in Cleveland was a little bit of his fault.
Mm.
Some was the organization's
fault. You can argue.
I mean, you got to give him a little bit of that. It was a commercial fest. He was everywhere.
It was
just
terrible.
Baker this, Baker that.
Progressive.
Wasn't playing well. Yep. And, you know.
At home with Baker Mayfield.
Chirping back at fans and just worrying about the wrong things.
I agree. Yep.
Carolina. It was Carolina. It was never going to be anything in Carolina. And the Ram thing just was, you were there because they needed an emergency quarterback because they didn't have one.
But he did some good things.
And he went in there and played well.
He did.
But when he got his team again and his opportunity with skill position players in Tampa, he showed up and he played well. And that's why he's now got a contract a little bit over $100 million with incentives.
And back to your point. Mike Evans can make a lot of quarterbacks look real good because he is really good at 6'5" tall. And I know he's past 30, so he thought he had his best year last year.
Yeah, people look at ages and say, oh, well, this guy's on the wrong side of 30. Mike Evans can still play.
Yeah.
If he's still doing that at 40, who gives? I don't care. I don't give a damn. Can he play no matter what his age is? As long as he can play, and I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. So Baker's got his key target, and that was the key. If they didn't sign Mike Evans to an extension to allow him to walk into free agency today, then Baker Mayfield probably wouldn't
I'm
be
with you.
In Tampa Bay because it wouldn't make sense.
Keyshawn, the harder I look at Mike Evans' numbers, they look like Hall of Fame numbers to me.
When his career is over, he'll probably be in the Hall of Fame 4, 5, 6 years after, as he should.
Maybe.
Why wouldn't he?
I know, but he's got potential to be first ballot.
Oh, well, of course. Yeah, but it's such a log jam at that position that you would just say he'll be in at some point in his career. He's had 1,000 yards every single year. He's been the number of Pro Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl. So when you start to look at everything like that in his career, you know, you have to say, oh, yeah, he's certainly going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. That's a good football team in a bad division.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah.
A good football team in a bad division.
Yeah. I got them as the favorite. You want to wait and see what Atlanta does.
Yeah. I don't care about New Orleans now. I got to pick another team.
You got to pick another team, unfortunately, for you and your nephew.
Yes, that is correct.
All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So, the Lakers won a game last night at home. They should have won. No Gobert, no Cat, no Kyle Anderson, no Monte Morris for the visiting T-Wolves. But without LeBron, they won a game Friday night at home. They shouldn't have won. It took 9 threes and 44 points from D'Angelo Russell, including 21 of those points, 4 of those threes in the fourth quarter alone, which ended with Spencer Dinwiddie's block of a potential Damian Lillard game winner. Wow. So, Rachel Nichols, after what you saw over the weekend from the Lakers, how much are they starting to look like a contender to you?
A contender for the Western Conference Finals? Yes, absolutely. A contender for a title with a shiny ring and all of that stuff? No. To me, no. And I would just say that I would still pick Denver in a 7-game series against them every time. And even if for some reason they could get past Denver, the idea that they would then also be able to beat, say, a Celtics team if they're there. I just don't see it. It could happen. The reason we love watching sports is the unexpected happens. Upsets happen. But it would be an upset to me if the Lakers were to win a title or a contender for an actual title. I will say, though, I think that Lakers fans, we've talked about it a bunch, it's championship or bust. It's championship or bust. And I get that. It's a storied franchise with a storied history. But I will say, if they are able to reach the conference finals for the second year in a row, led by a 39-year-old who is a legend of the game that Lakers fans get to see play every other night, that should be great, too. It should.
No. Doesn't work like that. But go ahead, Rachel.
No, I think Michael Jordan will never play basketball again. And I feel extremely lucky I got to be at the arena, courtside, for so many of his games. LeBron James is going to retire, as unlikely as that feels. And I think these years of substantive success, if they are able to do the same thing this year, and they won a title a few years ago, I think that's okay. They don't have to win the championship every year.
It wouldn't be okay. You got two of the top 10 players in the NBA on your roster, and if you make it to the Western Conference Final, you would hope and think that what went on a year ago in that sweep would change. Now, I'm going to assume...
Is Nikola Jokic different in this
series? Yeah, but Anthony Davis somehow could muster up or whoever, you know, could somehow figure out how to negate him to a degree or stop Murray and make it about just the Joker.
Yeah.
We would hope that they would be able to do that. And I'm going to assume that they are going to do it. And if that happens, I don't know that the Lakers are afraid of the Milwaukee Bucks, a team that they just beat without a LeBron James, okay, with a Dame Lillard and a Giannis. I don't think they would be afraid of a Boston Celtics team that they went to Boston without AD and LeBron. And you would say, well, that's only one game, Key. That's not seven. That's not a series of games. That's true. But I don't think that they would be, especially LeBron, would be looking at it and going, oh, well, we got to the championship now. Okay, at least we made it. No, not at all.
The players should never feel that way. I just would love the Lakers fans to appreciate what they've got right now. And
I think we appreciate it, but I think at the same time, there's a certain expectation that come with winning purple and gold and winning championships and paying a guy $54-plus million. There's a certain expectation that come with that. And it's LeBron freaking James.
Yeah.
This isn't just a normal NBA player. This is a guy that you want to see win multiple championships for your team so you can put that statue out in front of Staples Center. I don't call it crypto. I call it Staples,
I'm
even though
you,
it's not
man.
Staples anymore.
I'm with you.
Because if he gets a second, there's a chance, a strong possibility, that statue will be somewhere around.
Yeah.
He's got to get two.
Yeah. You think
one,
so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to do one.
Okay.
One gets the jersey. I don't know one gets the statue.
The statue?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know. Let's see.
So the most astonishing development of last night to me was at the end of the game, as they finally said, okay, that's enough, T-Wolves.
Yeah.
We got you. Mm-hmm. LeBron said that's enough. AD said that's enough. And I looked up and realized for the first time all year, they have risen to six games over 500.
Yes.
And I'm thinking,
oh, yeah, since
the
2021.
First time, okay. Since 2021.
No,
I'm just doing this year. I'm doing this basketball team.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this team has led this league in underachievement all year long because they're better than that. And I know they've had one injury after another. I got you. Mm-hmm. But LeBron has played more games this year already than he played last year. And he looks even better than he looked last year.
I agree.
He's shooting way better from three than he shot last year. And on any given night, Anthony Davis can give you a stat line that no center in the history of basketball has ever achieved. And that was his stat line last night that included seven steals. I know there's no Gobert. I know there's no Cat. But we condemn on a daily basis here Anthony Davis for not showing up. He showed out last night, albeit with a super highway to the basket for LeBron and anybody else who wanted it because they didn't have a rim protector, and AD clearly took advantage of that. But still, just now you got to six games over 500, and yet you start looking at the standings and say, well, wait a second, they're only a game behind Dallas, and then they're only a game and a half behind Sacramento. Oh, they're only two games behind, wait a minute, Phoenix for the sixth spot? It's doable. It's gettable. It's achievable. It's right there. The carrot's right there in front of you. And you actually have the opportunity to get some revenge over Sacramento because you get to go to Sacramento on Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. They tend to play Sacramento, for some reason, better at Sacramento than they play them in Los Angeles, where
they've lost four straight games. They should have their own beam.
I guess they should. They should light the beam in Los Angeles because they own the Lakers and that crypt that they play in. Okay, so the point is that this team is so much better than six games over 500, and I keep asking you, and now they're reporting, as you did for us, Jared Vanderbilt's going to come back. Yeah. I don't know exactly when, but he's going to come back. Gabe Vincent might be back within the week, the way they're talking. These are two big crucial pieces to a puzzle, a championship puzzle. This is the deepest team in the West to me. It's top to bottom. When they get all those people right, and yet there's some missing element with the chemistry because I couldn't figure out at the end of Friday night whether D'Lo was good news or bad news because that was sensational. That's all-star offensive ability on display. For him to say, Dame, watch this. I'm going to badly outplay you. Badly. I'm going to take this game over. I'm going to make nine threes career high. I mean, what are the odds he's going to do that again? Maybe in his life. I don't know if that was
in the following game.
Yeah, well, okay. LeBron's back. LeBron, as great as he is, he's hard to play with. And far be it from me. The last thing I'm going to suggest is that they're better without LeBron because they're absolutely, utterly not. But they got to figure out a way to blend in. the D-Lows and the Austin Reeves. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I do think that game Friday was a big chemistry win.
It was.
Took them a step further. Because, of course, we always talk about, oh, that gives the other guys confidence. They can play without LeBron. They can win without LeBron. To me, that was so important because it gave LeBron confidence that he can trust these guys. And we haven't seen him trust his teammates throughout this season, up and down a little bit. And he's had reason to, by the way, to feel the way he feels. And the fact that he sat there and watched them do that, I thought was very, very important.
Keyshawn, you talk about a third star. Maybe it's not Austin Reeves, although he blends with LeBron a lot better than D'Lo has blended with LeBron. But D'Angelo Russell has third star ability. You have to admit, on any given night, you can't, that doesn't grow on Southern California palm trees. You can't just go score 44. You can't. That's third star capability. That's nuclear capability.
Yeah, but it's too inconsistent.
Okay.
That's the problem. The inconsistency.
Okay, whose fault is that? Is it his fault or the blend's fault?
I don't know if it's the rotation or how they blend in it. I don't know if it's the fact that LeBron is back and now all of a sudden, here you go. I defer to LeBron because he looks at me a certain way. I have no idea.
I don't know. It could be.
I have no idea, but that still shouldn't. You still shouldn't have a poor performance after coming off that night. You just shouldn't.
Yeah, and as you point out, he's 1-4 in the fourth quarter. It's kind of
like
quiet.
1-4 in the fourth quarter. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
But consistency is a skill.
Okay, like, it's a skill.
We talk about how high a guy can jump and can he dunk and how's his three and all of that or how fast can he run the 40. Those are skills. Being mentally tough on the field, being Michael Irvin, being Jerry Rice, being those guys, being Keyshawn Johnson, those types of things, that's a skill. Guess what? Consistency is also a skill. D'Lo has some incredible skills. Oh, we got to see that. And I'd argue he is already the Lakers' third star. Mm. I mean, if you compare him to Austin Reeves, you know, he's shooting. His three-point percentage is 5% higher. He's got more points per game, 18 to 15. And then in the clutch, his three-point percentage is 50% compared to Austin, who's 33%. I mean, there's just a lot there that says he has emerged as the third
star. They went to him in the clutch the other night against Milwaukee, and he hit two running jumpers. And I said, that's big time. That's
a third guy to me can play both ends of the floor.
Because
you remove that scoring, but you've given up scoring to the opponent at that position who you guard, trading buckets, that's not going
to
help me.
Now we're back to the Trae Young conversation. But
All right. So I'm going to read to Rachel what I read to you, the D'Lo quote right after Friday night's game that really caught my eye and ear. He said, and I quote, "Public humiliation has done nothing but molded me into the killer that you all see today. I never lack confidence. I never fear confrontation. I want all the smoke," said D'Angelo Russell after he had hung 44 on Dame and company. Okay, how does that hit you? What does that say to you?
He's matured. He's grown up, and he's grown up in the right direction for a pro athlete. He's gotten tougher. He's gotten hungrier. It doesn't surprise me that a guy who was thrown into the spotlight of L.A. and the Lakers so young, playing, you know, with LeBron, all of the stuff that comes with it, didn't handle it completely and smoothly, and obviously had a lot of public foibles, which he's referring to in terms of the humiliation.
Yep.
But he grew up. And this is exactly what you want someone to grow to be. Do I think he went through incredible trauma that forged him as a person? No, I do not. I do not think that what he went through was, you know, incredible, traumatic. He's being a little bit dramatic over there. But I do think that those experiences shape you. I think he got tougher from them. And I think we see the result.
So in other words, he won't be pillow talking anytime soon.
I mean,
I think he grew out of that.
Yes.
I think he learned that lesson.
Yes.
And as you would know, that's one line you cannot cross.
That can be, no.
Right? Okay. Now back to Rachel's point about her Denver Nuggets. Yep. Not that you're a fan, but you did pick them and you're sticking with them.
Yep.
I'm going to reiterate. Your Lakers, they've lost 8 straight to Denver, but 6 of the last 7 times it went to the wire. 6 of 7 times you were right there, right there. Somebody's got to step up. It could be AD. It could be Austin Reeves. It could be LeBron. He has struggled to close against Denver. And I don't understand it because it's just getting wronger, if I can coin that word, because he's better than that. And he should be better. And they should be better. But to your point, at some point, They're going to break through against Denver because they play them really tight. They play them well. AD plays Joker very well. He doesn't get embarrassed by it, even though sometimes they even put Rui on Joker and do some different things to try to keep AD out of foul trouble, obviously, because he is going to foul you out if you stay on him for 48 minutes. But the point is, I wouldn't be afraid of Denver if I'm the Lakers.
I don't think LeBron is afraid of anyone, to your point, Key. Like, yeah. I don't think there's anybody he sees across the court that he's like, I don't know.
Maybe they don't even
scared.
Get to Denver, though. I was trying to figure out the matchups where they would fall to avoid Denver. Maybe, you know, hey, matchups is key.
No, if you can
get around
the Lakers this
Denver
season.
Then maybe somebody else takes Denver on and pops Denver.
Phoenix.
Maybe Phoenix. Maybe the Clippers. I don't know how it all would match up on the seedings because teams are going to move around here by the end of the year. Maybe they just avoid them altogether until such due time that they see them. It
does. And look, they've shown that their height, their length, they bother the Clippers. It bothers Oklahoma City, who's a smaller team, right?
Yeah.
Minnesota, if they catch them early, and Cat's just starting to come back, as they showed, they have a lot of firepower against that team. I would still say that anything can happen, but it is my opinion that it is Denver who knows how to play in the clutch, as you say. Those last five minutes.
I give them that.
And it's not just defensively. It's on the defensive end of the floor.
It's both.
And that is why the Lakers have had trouble with those close wins.
So
we're seeing it.